It's all new with Season 2, Motivational Monday, the show that guarantees you the motivation you need to thrive throughout the week.
If I were to just stop thinking about the debt, now shift that conversation and I say, I need to make this money. How may I be able to do that?
Wake up! It's a beautiful morning and time to ignite the greatness within you. This is the Motivational Monday podcast, and here's your host, Abigail Autry.
What you don't measure does not grow.
I didn't trust myself. I decided to trust somebody else.
Every Monday morning, my goal is to bring you an array of motivating and inspiring coaches, authors, keynote speakers, entrepreneurs, and fitness gurus to share their perspectives on motivation to awaken the sleepy giant within you. Plus, you get a taste of their secret sauce on success habits, ninja tips on staying healthy as well as happy, and personal insights as to how they transformed failures. Guess what? Into fortunes, equipping you with the power tools to make those powerful moves. Welcome to this week's Motivational Monday, the show that guarantees you the motivation you need to thrive throughout the week. With 2018 soon coming to an end, now is a better time than ever to take stock and review our financial habits, relationships to money, and re-educating ourselves on how we can grow our money more so we can do more, be more, and hopefully give more. So for the next couple of weeks, we're going to be running a virtual masterclass where I invite you to take lots of good notes, share the episodes with friends and within your tribe, and set yourself new financial goals as we soon embark on 2019. This is far more than just making New Year resolutions. What we want to be doing is uncovering mindsets, your mindset, my mindset, and attitudes and habits towards money and so much more. So our guest expert to start off this explosive virtual masterclass relay is Raman Gill. She's the founder of Trading with Venus, and she's going to be teaching and unpacking the world of trading to us. Raman, welcome to this week's episode.
Thank you, Abigail. It's a pleasure to be here.
Let's start off with this, Raman. What's the one wrong assumption people often make about trading?
I think the biggest assumption that most people have is that trading is to be left to the experts. So all of us will give money to these big mutual funds and stuff where we lose a lot of money in excess fees that they charge without actually getting the return. So it's something that anybody can do. That's the most important thing.
You know what? You just really hit the nail on its head, as we say in the UK, because that is exactly even the way I've always seen it. The language, for instance, can be so quite intimidating because you've got your own kind of industry jargon that as investors you often use, traders you often use. That it can feel a bit almost like, you know, I don't want to get too involved. Let me leave it to somebody else who's more informed to make those decisions for me. So how easy is it to really unpack the world of training and become a trader yourself?
So let me give you an example. I was talking to my daughter the other day. She is 7 years old. For her birthday, I was asking her what kind of present she wants. And we were talking about opening a bank account for her so she could learn about saving and money and how to use money. And she wants to learn how to trade.
Wow.
But the type of trading that I do is currency trading, which is a little bit harder to teach a child and teach them how to do it in real life. So I talked to her about stocks, trading stocks. Yeah. So I said, okay, this is something we can actually do. So I told her, okay, think about some place that you really like to go. So she gave me a few examples. Of course, the top of that was McDonald's. I have two daughters. Yeah. They love going to McDonald's. So she chose that we would buy her a few shares of McDonald's. Mm. And that's how easy it can be. So just looking at something that you enjoy doing and just buying a couple shares of that particular thing.
Mm-hmm. So let's just break this down.
Simple as that.
It is. And I want us maybe to even have some steps. So for someone listening today, it's like, okay, you know what? I see Amazon, for instance, are doing really well at the moment. So maybe I'm going to buy some stocks. How would they go and start the process of purchasing stocks with Amazon?
So the first thing, like you said, you want to look at what company you want to purchase. So something that's doing really well, for example, Amazon. And Amazon is a good example now because we are moving into that world where Amazon has done really well. Mm. And I believe Amazon will actually do well in the future. So for somebody who's not an active trader, you do want to look at something that's more longer term, right? So that you're not managing it day to day. For somebody like me who's a day trader, I watch my charts and I do active trading. But there's, you know, there's a lot of other nuances around that. But in terms of just getting into trading, you're acting as more of an investor. So think of yourself as buying a piece of the company. Yeah. So you're getting the profits. And this is what I was telling my daughter, that every time she spends money at McDonald's, she would get a certain amount of that profit back in her pockets in terms of dividends, right? So you want to look for something. So Amazon, so maybe those are a little bit two different things. So you can either look for dividends or growth stocks, right? Amazon is a growth stock. Okay. So you want to look for either mature companies that you know are doing really well, like banks, for example, tend to be financial institutions, tend to fall in that category where they've been around a while, they pay dividends, so you generate some income. Yeah. Or you look for growth companies like Amazon, where they have a bright future. So Amazon is growing, they're expanding, and they're really, they have been investing in their infrastructure. They have been investing in ways on making themselves known more and growing more. So that's a good thing. So you want to look at what is the company doing? What are their growth prospects? Does it look like they're going to die off, or are they really taking steps to make themselves be a part of our bigger parts of our life? And Amazon, I believe, is doing that. So the next thing, so once you do your research, do your research. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that you have to, like, it's good to look into their financial statements if you want to. But as a layman investor, look at holistically, a big picture. Does it make sense? Are they going in the right direction? Newspapers, for example, would not be the best investments because if you look at growth prospects, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense because chances are the technology is going to, they don't have as bright a future. But Amazon is kind of the next wave. They're looking at AI. They're doing a lot of these kind of stuffs, right? Mm-hmm. Or this kind of stuff. So that's a good one. So first thing would be identifying what you want. So something that you're familiar with. Don't go by something that somebody else tells you that you do not have the knowledge about. Good, because good. Then you're just buying into the hype, and that can have disastrous results. So know something that you're familiar with. A lot of us have bought stuff off of Amazon, and we do this all the time, so it has become a part of our lives. So that's the first important thing. Do something that you know. Pick something you know. Look at the future prospects will be the second step. If you think future prospects are good, that's the good thing to buy. Third one would be opening a trading account. So you can go to your bank and ask them that you would like to open. It's usually called, in here in Canada, it's called a wealth management account. So it's or a trading account. So where you can do, it's a self-managed account, not a mutual fund. Mm-hmm. So the difference there is with the mutual fund, somebody else manages it. So they, a bunch of investors or a lot of people will pool their funds, and then that portfolio manager will make the investment decisions based on their risk parameters and so forth. So that's not what you're looking for. You can, of course, have that, but you're looking for a self-directed account where you can make the decisions on what you want to buy. And then once you have that set up, it can take a couple of days for that to set up. You'll have to fill out some paperwork. Not very complicated, just seems complicated. It's not. And then The last step is basically buying, going and placing a trade. And today, these days, you can do it all online. So you don't really even need to go anywhere to place that trade. You can just click a button and you can place that trade.
Mm-hmm. I love the fact that you broke it down into four steps, really easy to follow through. So for you ladies and gentlemen listening, it's the first step that you really want to home in on, which is deciding which company you want to invest into. Hopefully it's a company that you know a little bit about. And if it isn't, then do your homework, research, more than everything. And then anticipating the future. What will that company look like in the next 10 years per se? And the fact that we can then go on to our banks and do everything online, I think is just beautiful, because that's where it's all shifted to anyway. Okay, Raman, I'd love you to offer your opinion, your advice here. I was recently listening to a financial expert who, if I say her name, we would all know who she is. And she was alluding to the fact that she was encouraging many to purchase stocks and shares at a relatively cheap price, just getting the shares that are available with new companies or maybe companies that aren't doing so well currently, and developing the habit of purchasing these shares because it's for people that are new to trading, it would be considered as a low risk to help develop their confidence. What's your opinion on this?
So there are different strategies for investing or trading,
yeah.
And that is one of the strategies. So you know a lot of penny stocks, so lower price stocks. The problem with that is you have to be a savvy investor or trader in order to do that, and you have to stay on top of it. So they're a bit they're a little bit more risky in that sense, right?
Right.
Now there is an opportunity to use a similar strategy, not exactly that, but a similar strategy for a layperson, somebody who doesn't have tons of hands-on experience.
Yeah.
And that is to actually look for solid companies when the market is down, right? So last week, we had a few days of downturn in the market.
Yeah.
And we are also coming into that cycle, the 10-year cycle. Every 10 years or so, the stock market has a big correction, right? So you can look for those companies. So save your money and then look for those companies that you actually like, but they're selling for less money than they used to be. So solid companies, but they're selling for cheaper. So I did that back when we were in the days of the big financial crash, the 2008-2009.
Yes.
A lot of the good companies, like banks and, for example, things like that. So Canadian banks are pretty solid here. There's a big, regulatory body that takes care of things, make sure that people are not overstepping and all that kind of stuff. So banking system here in Canada is fairly solid. So bank stocks tend to be good purchases because they also pay dividends. So you have some extra income coming in. Mm. So I bought some bank stocks during that time. So when everybody's panicking and market is selling off, you wait for it to level off. And then that's a good time to invest in solid companies that actually are doing well, but just the market is down.
I love that.
So that's just another way to.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same strategy, just a different way to implement it.
Love that. And in terms of how much to invest, I think that sometimes gets lame people that are not really experienced in this arena can be a little bit, again, intimidating, because if they don't feel like if they've got the 5 digits or 7 digits or maybe 5 or 6 digits to part with, they may feel like it's a waste of the time. So how little can you spend when it comes to investing in trading?
So you can... Yeah, you can start with as little as you want. Like, for example, with my daughter, I'm just going to buy her one stock of McDonald's.
Yeah.
Just one stock. So you can start with like less than $100, depending on the type of stock you want to buy, and see how it goes. So a friend of mine came to talk to me. Cannabis pot is legalized in Canada just recently, last month.
Mm-hmm.
And before it was for recreational use, I should say, but But prior to that, it was legalized for medicinal use.
Yeah.
So there were a lot of companies that were setting up shop here because there is good quality marijuana that is produced in Canada, especially in BC. You can get some really good crops out of that. So a lot of companies were setting up here, and she's in the medical field. So she came to talk to us, my husband and I, because he likes to invest as well in stocks. Mm-hmm. So she was talking about, because she sees people using that. There's more and more doctors prescribing it as more research comes out in that arena. She saw more, they are prescribing it more, right? Mm. For a lot of like cancer patients and things like that. So she wanted to invest in it. So again, going to something that you know.
Yes.
So she's in that industry. She heard about it. She heard about legalization. So she knows the future is bright here for this type of thing. So she wanted to talk about whether it makes sense to do it. So she ended up buying a local company or stocks of local company here. The stock went from, I think she bought it at $2 or $2.50. It's at $14 now. So it's gone up. So that's why, like, looking at how much. So at $2.50, she could, for $100, she could buy a bunch of stock.
Wow.
And, you know, if she loses the $100, it's not that big a deal. So I wouldn't suggest going overboard. Don't put all your money into it. I would say take a very small portion of it and start playing around with it and see how you feel. Because, and the most important thing is don't look at it every day, because prices will fluctuate.
Yes.
So don't give yourself a heart attack. Just have a sort of a vision on where you want to be and work towards that without looking at it every day.
I love how you can just simplify it. Oh, this is so good. I'm just absorbing, taking everything in. Raman, what's the one thing you wished everybody knew about money?
One thing that I wish everybody knew was that it's not that difficult. Money is not that complicated. You just need to learn how to use it properly. And this is something I was not taught. I did learn. I mean, I watched my mom. She used to do real estate investments. Mm-hmm. And I kind of learned from that. But a lot of the people that we were surrounded with didn't have that sort of mindset where they were always growing and investing. And everybody was more about make the money, spend the money.
Yeah.
And we kind of live paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, you know, ladies and gentlemen, you might be thinking, oh, why are we talking about money? And perhaps you're feeling as if your money is acting funny. But remember this principle: what you don't measure does not grow. So if you want your money to grow and you want your money to become, you know, at a level, at a place where you can do more, be more, have more, hopefully give more, then you've got to look at changing strategies, just as Raman's been sharing, and try and do something different with your money. And trading and investment, I think that's one of the key ways to go. So Raman, you have this brilliant theory, which is a form of psychology, looking at the part and the role that fear and greed often plays towards money. How so?
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it comes from personal experience.
Yeah.
A lot of us, when we start to invest, first of all, we drag on our feet on something, and we see other people making money. We kind of kick ourselves and say, okay, oh, I should have done that. I should have done that. We're kicking ourselves and we still don't do it because we are so concerned about where we could have bought that or where we could have gotten in and how far it's gone. And then we kick ourselves some more if we feel bad about it and we finally give in. unfortunately, the place where we give in, then we try to make up for lost time and we overdo it. And that's where, because we get greedy because we missed this big opportunity yes. that was present. And then, so instead of taking a systematic approach to it, we just tend to go overboard in trying to make money. So first we were in fear. We were afraid because we thought, oh, this cannot work. This is, I don't understand this. This does not make sense. And we don't do it. And then we see somebody just kind of leave us in the dust. And then we try to catch up to them by just saying, okay, I'm going to plunk a whole bunch of money in this and I'm going to make it all back and I'm going to catch up. And this is where things go wrong. And we basically buy at the top of the market and then we have no money left to really average down or kind of scale into it. And the whole thing goes bust.
It's the truth.
So there's a... Yeah, so the fear and greed are two factors that I've seen play out personally for myself. I've made many mistakes around that, and I've seen others do the same thing.
Mm. Why is it imperative, do you feel, for women to have a financial voice more than ever before now?
There are a couple of factors around that. First is we're living longer. We're living much longer these days, where average age used to be 70-something. Now we're living into our 80s. Like 85 is average age for women these days. And we are surviving our male counterparts. And not just that, today women are, or just in general, population is healthier now. So we get into that 70, 80 years of age, and we are healthier. So we're living longer, which means cost of living goes up, right? So before, we could just make do with Social Security, and then Social Security, so the countries that do have Social Security or pension, that's not enough. It's not covering stuff these days. And I find a lot of seniors live in poverty, especially women, because like a lot of women will dedicate number of years to taking care of the family, rearing children, and that type of stuff that we do as women, right? That's just kind of our nurturing nature, and we feel called to do. It's just biological.
Yeah.
However, then it makes it difficult for us to catch up. So a person who's been working for 10 years versus person who took a break for 10 years, now that person has to reinvent themselves. And a lot of times we still have the same pressure of kids making dinner and all that sort of stuff. So we're not able to catch up. We just don't have the time and effort to devote to it. So it's better to start thinking about our financial future today. And I find a lot of times women will stay in relationships that are just toxic and they're not the right relationships for them. But the only reason they're in those relationships is because they're afraid that they won't be able to make ends meet if they were to go off on their own. And it breaks my heart. I have a couple of friends in that situation right now. Mm. And it just literally, it breaks my heart to see that. So I think it's very important for us to take control of our finances.
Whew. And what most people don't realize also for everyone listening is that if you look at an average household, 70% of the financial choices that are made in every household is made by the woman in terms of the food we eat, the clothes that we're wearing, and so on and so forth. So once we change our mindset, women, we can effectively impact our children and our wider community by educating ourselves on things like becoming investors, looking at trading on the stock market. We're changing and we're gaining leverage because, you know, Rahman, you nailed it by this point. We are catching up. A lot of women are taking career breaks or they've been at home for several years, some even a decade, raising their families, doing a fantastic job in that area, but they haven't been winning in their finances. And that's got to so change. And so there'd be a level playing field. So anyone listening will be like, okay, Rahman, that's all good for you. You've been super successful. You've got all this wisdom. You've got an MBA. You know, you're an entrepreneur. you're doing great things, you're an expert, it's easy for you to sit there and coach me. But I want you to flip the script and circle back to a point in your journey where you hit rock bottom, fell down deep in the dirt, bumped your head, and did not know how you were going to get back up. Walk us through that story.
I'll actually offer two stories here. I'll share two stories. And the reason for that is because one story is from a few years ago and one story is very recent. So you can kind of see the two different aspects of the same person and how somebody plans to get through that. The first one is, I remember when I was a new immigrant to Canada. I moved here with my family from India. And at the time, my family did offer to support me. I could live at home and they could sort of support me in some ways. However, they were themselves living off of their savings and I didn't feel right to actually put that extra financial burden on them. So what I was doing at the time was I got a job, whatever job I could get. I think at the time, the job that I was doing was, I was cleaning fish. And it's funny because I don't even eat fish or I didn't at the time. So it was the most horrible job. I had to get up at like midnight because they had to have the fish ready for morning markets at like 4 o'clock. So we had the fish would come in and we had to clean it. It smelled horrible. And especially for a person who ate very little meat, it was just not a pleasant job. And you were cold the entire time. And I came from a warm country. So to be freezing the entire time I was there. So it was just overall just unpleasant. So it was during that time. But anyways, I was doing it because I wanted to make money for myself. And then I thought to myself, okay, this is not what I want for the rest of my life. How can I change my situation? In India, I was taking IT courses and I thought, okay, let me figure out how can I go back into that field. And I didn't have any guidance. I didn't even know I could enroll into university. Actually, it was so strange. I didn't know how to go to university here. So I thought, what can I do? So I thought, okay, let's go to a private college. And I had to pay $12,000 at the time. And this is 20 years ago. I had to pay $12,000 for a one-year course to get my IT diploma. And so I thought about it. I talked to the people that I was surrounded with, my friends and family, and everybody said, this is the worst thing. Don't pay $12,000 that you don't have, because I didn't have any money at the time. But I thought this was a good investment. I thought this was good investment in my career. And many years down the road, I would appreciate the investment that I'm making. Everybody said no, but I thought about it and I decided to go for it. So I got student loans. Part of it, I got student loan. And the weird thing was they would not give me the full student loan because I was working full time. And I'm like, I'm trying to make it work, right? So sometimes the system is not set up for you to win. So I got whatever, I took whatever loan I could get. I enrolled into school. And then a few months down the road, I lost my job. So now I had rent to pay. I was living on my own. I had really had no skill set. All I could do was just manual labor jobs. And I had this money to pay to school because my student loan didn't cover my entire education. So I remember being in that place where literally I would not have lunch. I wouldn't even have a can of pop because the 50 cents at the time or 75 cents it cost to get a can of pop, I could use for my bus fare to get to school from my home. So I clearly remember this day where I was sitting on the stairs of my school, just outside the school. I was sitting on the stairs and I was just crying my eyes out. I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to make this work. At the time, I had no credit because I was new to the country, so nobody gave me credit. I had no job, and then I had rent and school fees to pay, and I had no idea of what the future would look like. And here I was thinking, oh my God, everybody said to me, don't do this. This is not a good idea. And here I am. I chose to make this investment, and yeah, now it's just falling apart around me.
Wow.
So that was back then, but the good story out of that is that I just started applying for jobs and I finally got a job in a printing press, and at least I was able to basically go back to, I was at minimum wage, minimum everything at that point, but at least I was able to get through. And as soon as I got the, I did the job, even before that, actually, I started looking, I mean, before I finished my diploma, I started looking for jobs and I just started volunteering. I just started doing the work. And when I finished my diploma, there were some people who were like, oh, I want X amount of dollars in salary. I didn't care about that. I'm like, I just want experience. I need hands-on experience. I'm just going to start working. And I just started applying and I got a job. And all of a sudden, my salary doubled just because I took this course. So that worked out. And out of that, then I went back to university, got my bachelor's and so forth. So that $12,000 investment paid out hundreds of thousands of dollars because my salary before I left the corporate world was six figures, right? Over six figures. So that $12,000 was the beginning investment that I did. That led to a whole different, it just started the ball rolling and led to amazing experiences and amazing wins in my life. But that time, I clearly remember how difficult it was.
Yes. What would you like our listeners to extrapolate from your story?
So from that particular story, I would say the important thing is to keep on going. There will be times, so you make an investment, whether that's that investment in you, is in yourself. So you go take a course or whatever the case is, or you make an investment. Let's say you buy a rental property and all of a sudden the market crashes, the whole real estate market crashes, right? So there will be times like that when you will think to yourself, oh my God, this is just crazy. What did I do? I would say don't beat yourself up so much, first of all, and know that there's always a way out and learn the lesson from that. Don't say I'm never, ever going to do anything like this again, but think about how would you do differently? In that. So I will give you an example of an investment, if I may.
Yes.
Okay, so that was investment in myself. So now, this is very recent, and you will know what I'm talking about. Recently, about a year ago, I invested in cryptocurrency, Bitcoin and related. Mm-hmm. Now, this is where fear and greed, this is such a clear example of fear and greed, because a friend of mine, I knew about cryptocurrencies when it was $50 a Bitcoin, right? One of my mentors who taught me trading was investing in it. At the time, I didn't think much about it. I was like, well, I don't know, from technology perspective, if it had any sort of legs on it. So I didn't do anything about it. Then a friend of mine, just a couple years ago, two, 3 years ago, came to me and said, hey, Roman, maybe you should look into that since you're in trading. Look at Bitcoin. I'm like, well, I kind of know about Bitcoin, but I know when Bitcoin was $50 and now it's $350. So I was like, oh my God, it's already gone up as much as it's going to go up. So I didn't do it. And then at $750, he came back to me again. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to take some money and put it in there. And I tried to, at that time, opening an account was super hard, especially here in Canada. So I tried, they returned my wire, sent the money back. So then I just gave up on it. I'm like, I'm not going to do anything. And then it was 2000 and he was still telling me, Roman, you need to invest in this. I was like, no, I'm not going to do it. Anyway, so by the time I invested, it was too late. It was in thousands of dollars already. And not only that, now that was my fear. Now look at this greed, and I should know better because I'm in this world. So I thought I would catch up. And what I ended up doing then is he was like, okay, Raman, so here's the thing. This is, he told me about this cryptocurrency that was going to do great and things like that. And I listened to him and I said, this is a Ponzi scheme. He's like, no, it's not a Ponzi scheme and all that kind of stuff. So I went to my husband and I was like, okay, here's a Ponzi scheme. I think we can do this for a year, make the money back, and then invest it in real cryptocurrencies. And my husband's like, that's not a good idea. I don't think we should do it. I was like, nope, I want to do this. This is my decision. I'm going to do it. So I did it. And oh my God, the entire thing unraveled as soon as Bitcoin started dropping. The Ponzi schemes, SEC started auditing these companies that were running these Ponzi schemes. Wow. Overnight, they took everybody's money and they were just gone. They just disappeared. So, and I had invested almost $300,000 in this thing.
Okay.
So I was devastated. At first I thought, and again, while this was happening, like it didn't happen all of a sudden. It was like, it did take a few weeks for this to unravel. And I was saying to this friend of mine, I kind of saw him as a mentor. He was kind of ahead in me in terms of financial, in the financial journey. So I really looked up to him and I said to him, okay, I think we should get out of this and just take whatever money we had, because I was up. We were all up. I said, let's just close it out, just sell it for whatever it will sell for and get out. And he's like, no, I'm actually going to invest more at this point. So I was like, oh my God, so maybe I should do that too. So I didn't trust myself. I decided to trust somebody else. This is why I say, don't go with what somebody else is telling you in terms of what you should buy. Go with what you know works, right? So if you know Amazon, go with Amazon. If you know McDonald's, go with McDonald's. Mm-hmm. So just work in the area that you know about. Anyways, I did not know about it. So he said, I'm going to invest more. So I thought, okay. So at that time, I had $200,000 in it. So I invested another $100,000. And then it just unraveled literally over a few days. It just completely unraveled. All the promises and everything else they were making kind of went to the wayside. Now, so there's the fear. First, I didn't want to do it. And then there's the greed. I tried to make up for lost time and lost profits. And the tragedy of this is that money was not all my money. It was borrowed money. So not only did I lose $300,000, it was $200,000 of that was borrowed money. So I have to now pay back that money.
Mm.
So, and this is a great example of, now it's easier to talk about it, but there was time, a very dark time where I was beating myself up and I was talking to my husband. I'm like, I'm sorry. I mean, this is crazy. And I just couldn't believe. I'm like, I cannot believe I did this. I have an MBA. I have an Ivy League MBA. I should know better. You know, I've been doing this for years. I should know better. But yet the same two feelings, fear and greed, come into play in all kinds of different ways. So now, and this is, in the moment. So now what I have to do is I have to figure out. So first thing I'm doing is actually on his advice, I had borrowed the money at really high interest rate. And that was killing me because the idea was that I would make higher return and pay that back, right? So that didn't happen. Now, the positive thing out of that is I do have few Bitcoin, and I think the Bitcoin technology itself is solid, just from my IT perspective. Mm. I think we'll be using that technology going forward. I think there's a lot of future in that technology. We'll be using in our day-to-day lives, maybe not today, maybe 10 years from now. But it's going to become very prevalent in our lives. So the technology is solid. So Bitcoin is down, but it's not at zero. So the Bitcoin that I'm holding, I'm down like 50% on that. But at some point, that will recover. And I did some IPOs, so smaller coins that I think will grow over time as well. So right now, the investment is sort of shot. So I'm kind of writing it off. I'm just going to leave it for now, not look at it. So so I'm not giving myself a heart attack every single day. But how do I get out of it? That's the important thing, right? So it doesn't matter where you are in your journey, whether it's $2,000 that you lost, $20,000 or $200,000. Now, the question that I have to ask myself is, how do I get out of it? So the first thing is, it's okay to cry about it, complain about it, be miserable about it. And at some point, you just have to dust yourself off and say, okay, what now? What's next? So my action steps here are, first, I've converted that high interest debt to low interest debt so that it's more manageable. I'm paying off the principal, not just putting all the money in the interest. And now I have to get creative on how do I make the extra $200,000 to pay the debt off. Right. So, but in a way, that is good because now it helps me get creative. Now I have to get out of the comfort zone and start doing things that will get me to the next level as opposed to just sitting there. So, similar thing to what I was doing, instead of crying on the steps there, At some point I dusted myself off and I said, okay, what can I do? And I started applying for jobs, I started looking for opportunities and that type of stuff. So, same situation here, just the numbers are different. Yes. And at the end of the day, it's just numbers, right? But I am a different person, where I was a person who at the time was making $20,000 a year. Now I'm a person who makes a lot more than that, right? So it's same, it's just numbers. Mm. And that's where we have to look at it. How do we keep on top of the numbers, stay on top of the numbers, then how do we make it work? So I just have to make an extra couple hundred thousand dollars now.
It's really that. It's just numbers. I love that. Ladies and gentlemen, don't beat yourself up. If you have made it an investment, you've gone for something, took a risk per se, and the result wasn't what you had hoped, it didn't meet the expectation that you had, remember, it's the lesson. The experience was there to teach you something about yourself or perhaps something about a person or a place or an arena. And I love that, Rahman, you talked about instinct. And it's so important to always follow through on what you're feeling on the inside. That GPS, that God-given, protected, guiding system that will guide you down the right path if we pay attention to it. This is truly a masterclass. And so just before we take our break, what are you excited about at the moment, Rahman?
What I'm excited about at the moment is the growth prospects. So I have gone through that hard time now. And now I've started, it has forced me to look creatively at what I'm doing. And it has made me look at my business as a business owner, as opposed to the technician who works in the business. We all start our businesses as a technician because we are good at something. We have a skill set, right? We start doing it. And now I am thinking of, okay, what parts of my business can I delegate? So I focus more on business development because it becomes hard to do everything.
Indeed. More from Motivational Monday after this. It's all new with Season 2, Motivational Monday, the show that guarantees you the motivation you need to thrive throughout the week. Do you ever find yourself thinking, I've lost my confidence? I'm tired of playing it safe. I'm unsure whether my skills and experience fit in today's job market after having had a career break. Things just aren't working out for me at home or at work. Why not connect with me at abigailautry.com for a free discovery call today and let me reignite the greatness in you. Okay, so let's start off with your mindset mastery. Rahman, what mantras, what words are you specifically telling yourself to keep going during hard, tough times?
Okay, so the first thing I do want to acknowledge, because I've gone through this recently, is that it's hard to be positive when you are in a dark place.
Yeah.
It is really hard to be positive. And if somebody says to you, just be positive, think positively, I really want to, you know, strangle that person. But having said that, though, we do need to start looking at it differently. A lot of times when we are in the dark place, we're looking at the problems. We're not thinking about solutions. So we do need to take a step back and say, okay, if I were to just stop thinking about the debt, now shift that conversation and I say, I need to make this money. How may I be able to do that? Right. So instead of focusing on the problem, think about the solution. So, okay, I need to make an extra $200,000. So let's say an extra $500,000. How will I make an extra $500,000? Now, what could I do that could get me those results? So just positive talk may not work at that time, but shifting the perspective slightly may work. Right. So you may not even say the $200,000. How can I make an extra $2,000 right now or going forward? And that once you make that, it creates a little win. You make an extra $100,000. That creates a little win. You make an extra $200,000. That creates a win. And the wins will start shifting your mindset. So action is the most important thing. First, shift your perspective slightly, then take action on that. Have a small win, which now you're stacking things, right? You're stacking your wins, and that will shift your mindset slightly. And what I have been doing that I have found to be helpful for myself is I actually started going through this self-hypnosis CD or audio, I should say. And this was interesting because my husband brought this and he's the one who does not believe in that kind of stuff. He just believes in just action and he does not believe in mindset or anything because he doesn't struggle with it as much as I do. I feel like I have more more limiting beliefs in that sense. I have more, I think it's part of being a woman. We are told to be a certain way, but that being a certain way gets us results. Like being the way I was raised, if I were to be that way, I can be a good mother. I could be a good wife. I can be a good social person. I could be a very good friend, but I cannot be a good business person. I cannot be a good trader. I cannot be the one to make money. So I find because of the differences there, it's just raising, just social conditioning as well.
Yes.
So I need to put more effort into my mindset than my husband does. And so he actually told me about this program because this person came to do a talk at his work, I think it was. And he gave me this audio program. It's just a money manifest. It was a wealth and prosperity. I think that's what it's called. And the name of the guy is Wayne Lee. And I think his website is waynelee.com. And actually, Marissa Peer is another person who's, she's out of UK, and she talks about hypnosis as well, self-hypnosis. It's actually just power of suggestion. That's all there is. You're just telling your mind a message in a state where we are more accepting of it than we would be otherwise. So it's a 10-minute program that I do. I just do it in the morning. First time when I wake up and first thing in the morning and last thing before I go to bed, I just put it on and then I just go to sleep.
All right. So you've answered two questions in one. I'm going to go straight to managing your personal growth. What one book has helped you to harness and awaken your mastery?
So this book, it's a small book, right? It's very easy read. It's a story, essentially. Mm. And the book is called The Richest Man in Babylon.
Oh, yes.
I love that book. It talks about money. It talks about growing money. And this is from back in the day, wisdom from back in the day. And the interesting thing is the same concepts apply today, just in a different way. Before they were loaning out money. Today we can still loan out money. They were investing in something, in businesses and trade. We can still do that today. So that's my favorite book.
And last but not least, managing health and wellness. What do you do to stay healthy and also happy on the inside?
The one thing that became very clear to me was the health. As I was going through some dark moments there, my health started to deteriorate because I was just I was not paying attention to my health. I was not working out. I started eating really bad food just to sort of soothe myself and calm myself. So overall, I was just feeling really bad and I was feeling negative. And it started to reflect on my family as well, like my interactions with my family, with my kids, with my friends. So a friend of mine said, okay, Raman, you need to just get out of this. You look like a different person. You're acting like a different person than I have known you to be. And I've known this friend for 15 years. We've been friends. She said, I do not recognize the person you are. And that really kind of stopped me in my tracks. I'm like, well, I'm the same person. She said, no, you're not. And that forced me to really take a look at what I was doing. And I was talking to a mental health nurse, actually, and she said there's been a lot of studies done on the importance of exercise, yes, in breaking through depression. And she said, new research, like latest research, suggests that the more you work out, the easier time you will have getting out of those, because those endorphins will actually kick in and help you get out of that negative feelings. So I started working out. So I think it's very, very important to make sure that we take care of ourselves. And she was asking me, so what do you do for yourself? And I didn't have a good answer for that, because I was so wrapped up in how will I get out of this debt that I wasn't doing anything for self-care. So she was like, how about just taking a bath? You know, just take a bath, close the door, and the kids can do their own thing. And you just stay there in a, you know, just take a bath with some essential oils or salts and something. And I have a beautiful tub, right? I was not using it.
It's good. It's good that your eyes are open. And it's so true. Interestingly enough, I find that's where most people, and I have to say me included, I've had to really force myself when I've not wanted to go to the gym, is often the times when I've not wanted to work out. It's often the times when I need it the most. So it's interesting. It's that journey we're all on. I am so sad that we have to bring our conversation, our first masterclass, to a close. In wrapping this up and putting a nice big bow on this episode, Raman, what would you like to leave us with? Your final words, your final call of action, and how can people connect with you all around the world? How can they connect with you online?
So the final thoughts would be, don't worry too much about it. Just allocate small amount of money and start experimenting. Call it an experiment. That way you don't fail. You just experimented, right? So that's what I would say. In terms of getting a hold of me, I have a website called tradingwithvenus.com where I talk about trading. You can reach me there. I'm about to start a new podcast called Venus Invest. Fantastic. That will be for women and investing. So we're not going to talk too much about like no budgeting as such. I'm not about cutting out everything out of your life. I'm more about how do you invest and grow. Mm. So I'm going to do that as well.
Can't wait to hear it. I cannot wait. I'm afraid that's all we have time for today. But if you go over to abigailaudrey.com/podcast, you'll be able to check out today's show notes and links. Please definitely do connect with Raman. She has taught us, you've been dropping it all throughout this episode. Really important nuggets you've been giving us and pearls of wisdom. So do reach out and connect with her and certainly look out for her podcast. I, for one, Raman, will be tuning in.
Thank you so much, Abigail, for having me on the podcast. It's been wonderful. Thank you.
And I've equally enjoyed myself talking to you as well. So I'll catch you all, ladies and gentlemen, same time, same place next week for a fresh dose of motivation. God bless. It's all new with season 2, Motivational Monday. The show that guarantees you the motivation you need to thrive throughout the week.
Thanks for listening to the Motivational Monday podcast with career and confidence coach Abigail Autry. If you need a motivational boost in your life, visit abigailautry.com.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Motivational Monday. If this content is adding value to your life Our one big ask is that you go to iTunes, Stitcher to rate and review. Not only does it help us build our global community, in which we are committed in doing, but it also helps us get on even more amazing guests to share their knowledge with us all. Thank you guys for being a part of this uplifting community. And until next week, remember, you have greatness within you.